T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Let's do the damn thing, y'all. Welcome in. Happy Wednesday, Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. What's up to you and how do you do? It is tremendous to be with you. I am Rob Brown, and the pleasure is exclusively mine. Hit him with it, Diesel.
Stick to sports.
It sounded like you had to warm up for that. Did you have to get like a late stretch in or something?
Well, I almost told you to stop being such a liberal sports talk show host.
Oh, damn. I forgot to do that.
Yeah, that guy yesterday texted
in. I knew
I
forgot something.
Why does the station keep hiring liberals? Like, come on, dude. It's sports talk. Like, I didn't realize that we were in a world that has conservative sports talk and liberal sports talk. I didn't know that was a thing.
Damn it, Diesel, stick to sports.
You know what? I'm going to start a conservative rock station and only play one of my favorite YouTube channels.
Ted Nugent on loop forever.
Yes. Well, he calls it Red State Rock and Military Wife Rock.
Just on a
just
loop.
Nothing but Five Finger Death Punch.
Cat scratch fever over and over.
Yep.
Oh, welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Robin Diesel with you. On a Wednesday, keep in mind we are taking you all the way till 3:30 today. 3:30 today, as we will flip over to bring you the first play-by-play call as the official broadcasting partner of Furman Paladin's Shooty Hoops. That is right at 3:30. We will bail out, and at 3:30 we will kick it on over to our buddy Dan Scott. And, of course, on color today will be our own Mark Ryan, not Ryan. They will have the call of a tip that starts at 4 p.m. this afternoon. So make sure you are set up and ready for that. Then we are off of the air tomorrow and Friday to celebrate Thanksgiving with our friends, family, and loved ones, mostly on Zoom for me. But Thursday and Friday, we will be doing Thanksgiving with our friends and family. And be off of the air. We will return with you coming up on Monday. I hope you guys have a very safe, very happy, very healthy Thanksgiving. I hope that you are doing it safely and avoiding spreading the coronavirus any further. I hope everybody remembers the point of this holiday and gives thanks for all of the good fortune we have here in the Upstate, I will tell you. And Mark Ryan and I was funny enough yesterday when I was filling in on his show for Lonzo during one of the breaks. He and I got into it during one of the segments. Shocking, I know. And we got to a break, and I'll pull back the curtain just a little bit. We talk to each other back and forth when we are off the air, and we got back. And Mark and I were chatting during the break, and he says, you know what, Rob? We are incredibly lucky to do what we do and do it where we do. And he is absolutely correct. Of all the things, and I'm going to invite you to call in, text in today, and give us what you're thankful for as a sports fan, right? As a sports fan, what are you thankful for? I've got a bunch I'll give you throughout the day. But the number one that I have right now, and I know I've shared bits and pieces of my backstory before I ended up here in the Upstate over the past 13 or 14 years of broadcasting, but I am so incredibly thankful that not only do I get to continue doing what I love to do, which is to get on this microphone every day and talk about sports with you guys. But on top of that, I have been fortunate enough to be brought to one of the most underappreciated, beautiful, culturally diverse places in America, in the beautiful upstate of South Carolina, and really this state as a whole. I tweeted out yesterday, somebody put up a picture of the Isle of Palms over on the coast of South Carolina, and just this state from east to west, north to south, is such a beautiful place to be with so much to see and do and experience, and again, crazy, crazy fortunate to be here. So I am thankful to every person who got me here today, who helped, who was a part of my story to get me through the crap that I went through for so many years to end up here. I am thankful to all of you that you have opened your arms for the most part and welcomed me to this area to let me become a part of the sports scene here in the area. I am so fortunate and so grateful and so thankful to all of you for allowing me to become a part of this community, because it has been truly and genuinely, and without being melodramatic here, it has been a lifesaver for me. It genuinely, truly has, and I'm honored to be a part of this community, and I thank you all so much for opening your arms and allowing me to be a part of it. So, with all the soft, mushy stuff out of the way, I want you to be a part of the program today. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Text us at 71307, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so that it filters through to Diesel and I. We can read them on the air. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Diesel on Radio, at ESPN Upstate. At The Rob Brown Show, at ESPN Upstate, at Diesel on Radio. All the Twitter handles for you to be a part of the show with us today. Want you to do that. And then email us, robbrown@espnupstate.com, robbrown@espnupstate.com. That's if you got something that's a little more long format. You don't want to come on the air with it. robbrown@espnupstate.com is a great way to make that happen. So there's all the different ways for you to be a part of the program today, and we absolutely want you to get involved. What are you thankful for as a sports fan? As a sports fan.
Volleyball shorts.
Well, you always got to make it a little weird, don't you?
Yeah. I came in the studio and volleyball's on. And so, front of mind.
Can you do me a favor and put your pants back on, please?
No, I will not send you screenshots.
Yes, I'm not saying that Diesel might get weird today, but that's already happened. So it is what it is. All right. A lot of stuff that we need to get to on the broadcast today. A lot of things we are going to jump into and talk throughout the show. But it is the first segment, which means it's time to do that little thing we do.
It's the lunch breakdown.
Yes, it is. Me. All right. The three things you have to know before you go talk sports with your friends, family, coworkers, or the wall. It is the lunch breakdown. We start with item number one, our college football playoff rankings version number one are officially out. Alabama, the number one team in the college football playoff rankings as of yesterday evening. They are followed in the final four spots by Notre Dame at number two, Clemson at number three, and Ohio State at number four. Texas A&M checks in at fifth, Florida at six, giving the SEC three of the top six teams, along with Alabama, which is number one in the CFP playoffs for a record 19th time so far, are the Crimson Tide. Unbeaten Cincinnati from the AAC checks in at seventh, the best ranking for a non-Power 5 team in the seven-year history of the selection committee's top 25. Number eight, Northwestern, Georgia, and Miami round out the top 10. Another unbeaten team from outside the Power 5 was not so highly regarded by the committee. BYU slotted number 14 behind a 6-2 Oklahoma team and a 6-2 Iowa State team at 12-13, respectively. The Cougs were number 8 in the latest AP Top 25 poll. Why are they out? Why are they not higher than they are right now? Well, the correct answer is because the BYU Cougars despite their mantra the last few years of anyone, anytime, any place, had an invite to play the Huskies of Washington as the Huskies were looking for an opponent this week. And it turned out that the BYU Cougars had an open date to play. The Huskies reached out to BYU to try to schedule a game with the Cougars this weekend, but BYU declined the offer. Bruce Feldman of Fox Sports and The Athletic reported that BYU rejected Washington's offer because the Cougars wanted to see where the College Football Playoff Committee ranked the team when the first top 25 ranking was released. It turns out that in waiting to see where their reaction or their placement was going to be, the reaction ended up being a very negative one. They were bumped down below a pair of 2L teams in Oklahoma and Iowa State. To find out, at number 13, 11 Oklahoma, 13 Iowa State, in that ranking. The highest-ranked Pac-12 team was wedged in the middle. That would be Oregon at 15th, USC all the way back at 18th. Diesel, if it wasn't for the rejection of the Washington game by the Cougs of BYU, I probably would have had a much bigger problem with BYU being ranked where they are. But the issue I have here is that in turning down a game, yes, they deserve a slight slap on the wrist because of that. But how can you get mad at them but put an Ohio State team that has 4 games on its record at number 4? It almost seems like you're kind of picking and choosing the spots where you utilize different criteria to rank teams in the playoffs.
Are you surprised at that? Are you surprised that they applied different criteria to different teams in the way they choose to this week versus next week? Are you shocked?
No.
Welcome to college football playoff rankings.
Not even shocked a little. Not even kinda.
Yeah, see, the interesting thing is that BYU had had a 10-game schedule, and they certainly could have added another one to make an 11-game schedule. And I understand BYU's point. It's we're ranked pretty high as it is. We don't want to take the risk of ruining that. It's a high-risk, high-reward situation, right? Or at least they thought it was a low-risk, high-reward situation. If we choose not to play this game and we're ranked high anyway, we'll be fine. But the committee might look at that and say, you're scared. You ducked the opportunity. But at the same time, it's also hard to turn around and put a game together in a week and game plan for an opponent that you didn't know that you were going to have to game plan for. They don't just start thinking about a team they're going to play 7 days before they play them. You got support staff working 2 to 3 weeks ahead, already planning for your opponent 2 to 3 weeks away. So I understand the difficulty. It's just kind of a no-win situation for BYU.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, well, that's not true. It's not no win. The win would have been a literal win. The literal win would have been to go out there, play Washington, and get the dub, bump up your schedule. In fact, I would even argue that the Cougs likely would have been probably. I mean, Cincinnati checked in. Where did we say Cincinnati checked in?
Seven.
So Cincinnati ends up at 7. The best ranking for a non-Power 5 team in the 7-year history of the selection committee's top 25. I suspect BYU would have been right there at 8, or they would have taken 7 and Cincinnati been at 8 had they played Washington and won. I think that Monday or Tuesday, when that news dropped, Mark Ryan and I both agreed on that take. Both of us said this will cost you more than it benefits you. Yes, it would be nice to have that undefeated ranking when the first playoff rankings came out. To be undefeated when those first ratings dropped today would be nice. But having an undefeated record, but with a turndown game from another team that is a respected college football franchise, that shows a little bit of fear, right?
But they're also an unranked opponent. They're unranked. What does playing Washington do for you this year? Is this a little bit of the playoff committee adding a lot of extra weight to a Washington team that probably doesn't deserve it just because 2 to 3 years ago they were good?
No, I think it's more a matter of you had an opportunity to play a game and prove that you deserve to be up there. I mean, listen, you and I agree.
So they chose to de-rank them or drop them based on hypothetical what would have happened if they had played somebody.
No, I don't. I think they dropped them because they are thinking if you're a playoff caliber team, you take any game you can get right now.
This playoff committee is a bunch of clowns, man. You can't arbitrarily rank somebody on who they didn't play.
Again, I don't think it's about who they didn't play. I think you could have inserted any team into us, any team in the Pac-12 that would have invited BYU for a game, whether it was Washington or Washington State or USC, Cal, or anybody else, Arizona, whatever, any of those teams invite BYU to play. Hey, look, we got an open date. You have an open date. We need as many games as we can get. You need as many games as we can as you can get. Let's go ahead and get together this weekend and play a little ball. If they accept that game, I think the playoff committee, and again, we do agree, everything that the playoff committee utilizes to decide who goes where is very subjective. Very subjective. It is up to them to use whatever criteria they want to place teams wherever they want. I think they looked and went, okay, if you as a non-Power 5 team believe that you are a playoff caliber football team, then you should be willing to play anyone, anytime, any place the way that the headbands your players have worn for the past few years in practices have said. BYU has taken that angle for years. You had an opportunity to play someone at some time in some place, and you straight up turned it down for reasons that are, hey, we want to see where we come off in the playoff ranking. All I'm saying is if they play that game and win it, it has nothing to do with who the opponent is. If they play that game and they win it, they're up there with Cincinnati, but the playoff committee has looked at them and said, you had an opportunity, you rejected it, that means you probably don't believe that you are a playoff caliber team, so why should we? I'm not saying I agree with that line of thought, Diesel. I'm telling you what I think the line of thought was.
Yeah, so what are they ranking on? Are they ranking on resume, or are they ranking on your hubris and your willingness to play anybody? I mean, the goalpost moves every single year, and I get it. You are a Power 5 fan. You're a Power 5 fan. You're all about some SEC. You're all about the blue bloods in college football. Coming from the perspective of a smaller program and a fan of Group of Five football that has to struggle every single year to try to figure out where this moving goalpost is, it's just a bunch of crap, man. It's a bunch of crap. Are you basing it on the fact that you're torching everybody this year, or are you basing rankings on the fact of who you chose to play or who you chose not to play when a last-minute game was offered? I mean, come on, man.
I get...
That committee is one big steaming turd.
I get where you're coming from. And again, it is crazy subjective, which if you're on the outside looking at it, here's the thing. If you're up in the top of if you're a group of five, or excuse me, a Power 5 team, if you are a Power 5 team that is up near the top, you are fine with it being subjective, because you know if you're in the ACC, the SEC, the Big 10, the Big 12, the Pac-12, your resume by default is going to be considered a good enough resume to get onto that list. If you are a Group of 5 team or an independent, probably not so much. Right? Because you can say, what do we have to do? And
it changes every year and every week. It changes every week what you have to do.
I don't know.
At least get in the top 10. And this is a weird year in that half of college football chose not to play half of their college football season, and they're still pulling this crap.
I think the problem is if you are a Power 5 or independent, and you look at somebody and say, what do we have to do to open that door? The committee's answer is, we will let you know when you do it. And that's frustrating as hell, right? If you've ever been to work on a project and the boss has said, I need you to accomplish something. And you say, accomplish what? And they say, I'll let you know once you accomplish it. You'd leave that job. And that's what this is, right? That's what that is. What do we have to do to get in? We'll let you know once you do it. It's tough to do. All right, way late for the break. Let's go ahead and take it. When we come back, we'll wrap up the lunch breakdown. Did not intend for that to become a whole segment, but it was a good one. Quick break. We're back after this on The Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Diesel with you here on a Wednesday. Remember, taking all the way till 3:30. And then we get you to Furman Paladins basketball. First game tonight, our buddy Dan Scott on the call. Mark Ryan will be filling in as color commentary for that match. Look forward to seeing how that one goes down tonight. So, a couple of other things on the lunch breakdown that we did not get to. Item number two on our lunch breakdown, your NFL Hall of Fame ballots are out. Calvin Johnson, Charles Woodson, Jared Allen, Peyton Manning all find themselves on the list this year. The four first-time candidates headline the 25 semifinalists of modern era players for the class of 2021. Returning semifinalists include Eric Allen, Willie Anderson, Cornelius Bennett, Rodney Harrison. Of course, over the next few weeks, the list of modern era candidates will be trimmed down from 25 to 15 before 18 finalists, which includes Coach Tom Flores, contributor Bill Nunn, senior nominee Drew Pearson, and others, will present the 48-member Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee the week leading up to the Super Bowl. The final announcement will come the day before the Super Bowl. Bylaws allow for between 4 and 8 players to be voted into the Hall of Fame, with each candidate needing 80% support in order to get it. On the complete list of modern era semifinalists, cornerback Eric Allen, defensive end Jared Allen on that list. Played, man, it's so weird, Diesel, when you start to hit our age, because it's not just the guys on the list aren't like memories of my childhood that I remember seeing every now and then when my old man would turn on the game and we'd sit there and watch. And oh yeah, Jared Allen, I remember him once or twice. Like, these are guys when I was like in high school and college that were the best of the best. These were guys that were playing when I was already an adult football fan, and they're going in. Man, how the time flies when you're having fun. Quarterback Jared Allen, defensive end Jared Allen, of course, he played a year with the Carolina Panthers, spent the majority of his time with the Kansas City Chiefs, played 2 years with the Vikings, 1 with the Bears, 1 with the Panthers, and 3 with the Chiefs to start his career. You got Willie Anderson, the tackle from the Bengals and the Ravens. Rondé Barber on the list. Of course, he spent his entire career, from 97 to 2012, 15 years with Tampa Bay. Only player in NFL history with 40-plus interceptions and 25-plus sacks. He was on the NFL's all-decade team of the 2000s and won that Super Bowl with the Bucs. Linebacker Cornelius Bennett is on that list. Tackle Tony Boselli is on that list. The NFL All-Team of the Decade in the 90s and a 3-time first-team All-Pro. Played his entire career with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That was only 6 years in length. Boselli was about as good as they come during that short career. Leroy Butler, of course, of the Green Bay Packers, spent 11 years there, 38 career picks, only player in NFL history with 3-plus picks and 3-plus sacks in 3 straight seasons. Guard Alan Faneca, safety Rodney Harrison, is on this list. Played 8 years with the Chargers and then 5 with the Patriots. 34 picks, 30 and a half sacks, and one of only two players in NFL history in the 30-30 club. The only other is Ray Lewis, played in four Super Bowls and won a pair with the Pats. Torrey Holt of the Rams is on that list, over 13,300 receiving yards, 920 receptions, and led the NFL in receiving yards in two separate years. Also one of only five players in history with multiple 1,600-yard receiving seasons. Wide receiver Calvin Johnson, Megatron, is on that list. 1,964 receiving yards in 2012. That leads the NFL in all-time receiving yards for a single season. 86.1 career receiving yards per game, second all-time, and a three-time first-team All-Pro, played his entire eight-year career with the Lions and probably could have put up another three, four, five good years. Decided to walk away early. Why? Because the Lions were terrible, and he was on past his prime at that point, like it or not. Safety John Lynch, 10 years with the Bucs, 26 career picks, 16 career forced fumbles, two-time first-team All-Pro, and won the Super Bowl with the Bucs. Here's the fun one, Peyton Manning on that list. Of course, he spent from 98 to 2011 with the Colts and then three more seasons with the Broncos, 200 career wins, including the playoffs. That is second all-time. 539 career passing touchdowns. That's third all-time. The only two guys above him are Breeze and Brady, who are still going. 71,940 passing yards, third all-time, again behind only Breeze and Brady. 5,477 passing yards in 2013. That was the greatest single yardage season of any team ever. 55 passing touchdowns in 2013, the most for a single season ever. 14-time Pro Bowler, tied for the most all-time. 7-time first-team All-Pro, won a Super Bowl with the Colts and a Super Bowl with the Broncos. The only quarterback to win a Super Bowl with multiple franchises. Clay Matthews is on that list. Sam Mills, listen, if there has ever been a point in time, Carolina Panthers fans, where you and I can shake hands as a Saints fan and a Panthers fan, NFC rivals, it is over linebacker Sam Mills. Played from 86 to 94 with the Saints as part of that Dome Patrol defense with arguably the greatest linebacker core of all time. Then he spent a couple of years in Carolina, 95, 96, 97. 20 and a half career sacks, 11 career picks, and a one-time first-team All-Pro. Richard Seymour, Steve Tasker, Fast Freddie Taylor of the Jags and Patriots on that list. Zach Thomas, Miami Dolphins for 11 years, one season with the Cowboys is on the list. Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne, of course, a big chunk of those Peyton Manning yards and touchdowns went to Reggie Wayne. Patrick Willis, the linebacker with the San Francisco 49ers, had to leave early because of a career of built-up injuries, but was one of the best interior linebackers in the game during his time in the NFL. Charles Woodson, Darren Woodson, both on the list, as is defensive tackle Bryant Young. So that is your NFL Pro Football Hall of Fame candidates as of today. Quick break. When we come back, flip over to baseball. Big story out of Atlanta earlier in this week, and they might not be done. What are the Bravos doing to move forward? And we'll take a spin around the rest of MLB free agency to see who's still out there for moves to be made. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And a little AC/DC for you. This was the theme song of my very first radio show. It's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. Have you gotten Diesel to listen to the new AC/DC album that dropped yet?
I have not.
It's not terrible. It's not terrible. I mean, it's like, it's pretty classic AC/DC sound.
Yeah. I mean, it's three chords. Just played in a different order.
A, D, and G all day, baby! I love me some AC/DC. Always have, always will. All right. Let's get to item number three on our lunch breakdown, as apparently we've decided that all three deserve their own segment today. But hey, whatever, man. It's the day before Thanksgiving. We do what we want, man. Who sticks to it? So we have already seen some big moves moving around so far. Real quick rundown of who is still left on the radio.com Major League Baseball free agency rankings. Here's what we know as of this morning. Jock Peterson, the outfielder, is still out there. Brad Hand, Jacob Arizzi is still available. Nelson Cruz, Tejon Walker, Andrelton Simmons, Jackie Bradley Jr., James McCann is still available. Colton Wong is still available. Haesung Kim, the shortstop, coming out of the KBO, making his way over to the MLB, is available. James Paxton, Justin Turner, Liam Hendricks, Masahiro Tanaka, Michael Brantley, Didi Gregorius, Marcus Semien, Marcus Stroman is off, actually. Marcell Ozuna of the Atlanta Braves still out there. DJ LeMahieu, former LSU Tiger. George Springer looks like he's leaving the Stros, so somebody else is going to be seeing Springer Dingers this year. He's still available. JT Realmuto and Trevor Bauer are all still available. What moves have been made? Well, I'll give you the big one for the Atlanta Braves, and that is that right-handed pitcher Charlie Morton has been signed to that club. Now, this happened earlier in the year, a single year, $15 million deal on the books for the Bravos and Charlie Morton coming out of Tampa. Remember, he has been a big game pitcher, 37 years old, so he's a little on up there in age, but finished game 7 of the 2017 World Series with Houston, won game 7 of the ALCS this season for the Rays. Of course, Atlanta went into the postseason with some good rotational pitchers on the roster, but they were short on starters. Now, all of a sudden, have one of the best rotations in all of baseball with Morton and Braves' other free agent signing, Drew Smyly. They joined the young core of Max Fried, Dane Anderson, and Mike Soroka, who should return from a torn Achilles a month or two into the season this year. Before Soroka returns, Kyle Wright and Bryce Wilson. Kyle Wright came up with some big spots for the Braves in that postseason, will show up as well. Morton was available only after the Rays turned down a $15 million club option. They did want to re-sign Charlie Morton, but they were unwilling to match Atlanta's offer, bringing Morton back to the team that drafted him back in 2002 and with whom he debuted 6 years later. Atlanta has, over the past couple of years, kind of taken to the MO of targeting high-dollar free agents on one-year deals, which has been largely successful recently. Been repeated with Morton and Smyly both. Morton for $15 million, Smyly signed for 1 year, $11 million. Atlanta could see its latest triumph in that group. Slugger Marcell Ozuna leave via free agency this winter, though there is still some possibility that Atlanta might decide to pick him back up. Atlanta's pitching, however, looks like it will now stack up with some of the best in the National League. And the National League East has absolutely become a pitcher's division right now. The Nationals, the Marlins, the Mets, and the Phillies all have decent rotations. And the Braves knew coming in that if they wanted to compete in this division, they were going to have to get up into that group as well. The Braves have now won 3 consecutive division titles, and they just got a little bit better. There were rumors that they might still be in the mix, potentially looking for Trevor Bauer. But remember, and I don't know how serious this is, as Bauer is a bit of an internet troll on the old Twitter device. Right after the Bravos swept the Reds in the opening round series of the postseason this year, there was already talk that the Braves could be making a move on Trevor Bauer, who we knew was going to be a free agent this year. But after Trevor Bauer came out and kind of trolled Atlanta just a little bit on the field, Bravos fans lit him up on the Twitter. I mean, lit him up on the Twitter device, and Trevor Bauer sent out a tweet that said, would have loved to have been in Atlanta, oh well, shrug emoji or something like that. I'm paraphrasing it. I don't have the exact tweet in front of me, but the point is Trevor Bauer basically on Twitter said, nope, Atlanta's off the market. Would not look to coming there after the way the fans reacted to me. Whether or not he meant that and whether or not the Braves might keep him in mind, I doubt it at this point. With Smyly and Morton both in play now. And by the way, speaking of Tampa Bay pitchers, Blake Snell looks like he is going to be up for grabs as well. Snell had himself a heck of a postseason as well. And the rumor is that the Braves and the Angels are the two teams that are taking a look at Blake Snell. Now, that news did come out before the announcement of the signing of Charlie Morton. So we don't know if signing Morton to that one-year $15 million deal will take the Braves out of play to ultimately bring Blake Snell in. But up before this signing, they were still the team that that seemed to be putting the most interest into bringing Blake Snell into play. Might that stick? Might it not? Don't know just yet. Morton ends his time with Tampa Bay after two seasons, 18-8, 3.33 ERA, third in this AL Cy Young voting in 2019, a two-time All-Star who won his lone World Series ring in 2017 with the Astros. He was 29-10 with a 3.36 ERA and 55 starts over two seasons there. Morton is 93-89 with a 4.08 ERA over a 13-year career in which he spent time with Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Philly, Houston, and Tampa. Morton did not receive no trade protection in the deal, which is a straight $15 million with no incentives, according to Buster Olney. So there is still the potential, that he could end up as trade bait down the road. Perhaps Charlie Morton was signed just to give the Braves a little leverage in maybe adding another bat to the middle of the rotation. If they do still decide to go with Blake Snell, then Morton would become potentially an expendable trade piece since he does not have a no trade clause in the deal. And it is not a hefty contract down the road. It is a straight $15 million one-year deal, meaning that he, again, could very well be up on the block before he spends a day on the hill for the Bravos big league organization. All right, 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Quick break when we come back. Breaking news out of Carolina for your Panthers. We may see a return to the field from not one but two top-tier superstars. We will tell you who they are and what their schedule looks like when we come back here in just a minute. I am Rob Brown. Diesel's on the ones and twos. You're listening to The Rob Brown Show. You're listening to ESPN Upstate. All right, wrapping up hour number one here in The Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate. Breaking news out of Carolina. Breaking news brought to you on ESPN Upstate by our friends at Mercedes-Benz Vans. Mercedes-Benz Vans, see how far an extra mile can go. Panthers coach Matt Rhule has said that quarterback Teddy Bridgewater should practice today. Rhule, though, called running back Christian McCaffrey week to week. But Tom Pelissero of NFL Media reports that Run CMC is now expected to practice today and tomorrow. Did still call his status for Sunday, quote, up in the air, end quote, but he is getting back on the practice field. We have already seen just how important it is to Run CMC to play, even if this is indeed a lost season. Now, this is week 12, and the Panthers have a 13 bye week, so it's possible the team may decide to hold out Run CMC another week just to make sure he is fully healthy when he returns. Obviously, he's missed the last two games with that shoulder injury. He had just returned from a high ankle sprain, which kept him out six games, hurt his shoulder in the fourth quarter of his first game back, has been out for the last 2 weeks because of that. There is only one more game between now and the bye week, so it's very possible that Run CMC may be held out for this weekend as well. Even if he is a healthy go, he may be scratched coach's decision just to ensure that he's 100%. And again, I think that's the right decision. I mean, you want Run CMC out there. Your best opportunity to win is when CMC is out there. But honestly, is it all that important, right? I mean, I know you want to win games. Trust me, I know you want to win games. But is it genuinely all that important that he play? The New Orleans Saints right now are in charge of that division by two games. Tampa Bay is two games out. They had a heck of a game against the Rams on Monday night. They lost late in that game, which led to them falling two games out, but there's still a few full games ahead of Carolina right now. The likelihood of Carolina snagging one of those extra playoff spots, one of the wild card spots, Of course, we have right now two extra spots up for grabs this year that are not traditionally there. Whether or not the NFL will keep the expanded playoffs moving forward, I don't know. I will tell you that it is. I don't think it's likely. As much as the NFL would love an extra weekend of playoff games, it's going to go. I think it's going to go one of two ways. They will either expand it one weekend further, and so you'll end up. You'll end up with two full weekends of wild card games, or they won't. They'll contract it back to where it has been with your four divisional champions, two getting a bye, and then two wild card teams playing the two divisional champs. Winners of those games moving on to take on your divisional winners in the next round of the holidays. I doubt they will leave it in the current configuration, though that is speculation at best out of yours truly. That being said, it is not likely, although not impossible, that Carolina ends up in a spot where they're in one of those extra wild card spots right this second. Those wild card spots still up for grabs, obviously. You've got nobody out of the NFC East is going to grab one. Right now, the Eagles lead that division with a stellar record of 3-6-1. So every team in the NFC East has three wins through week 11. No wild cards there. Out of the NFC West, the Rams and the Seahawks are both 7-3 as of right now. The Packers are 7-3. The Bears are 5-5 out of the NFC North. And you've got the Saints leading the NFC South. The Buccaneers a full two games back at 7-4. 8-2 are the Saints, 7-4 are the Bucs. But, of course, keep in mind the Buccaneers still have they still have lost both games to New Orleans that they would have to find a way to make up. So, long story short, the Saints right now have enough room where they could lose to the Chiefs. They've got the Chiefs coming up in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. They could lose to the Chiefs, but still find themselves in first place in the NFC South overall. Your wild card lookers right now, if the divisions hold, the Eagles would win the East, the Rams the West, the Packers the North, the Saints the South right now. Your wild cards right this second would be the 7-3 Seahawks and the 7-4 Buccaneers, but you have those two additional wild cards to dole out right now. The Cardinals are at 6-4 right now. They would get a wild card, and the Bears at 5-5 would end up with a wild card as well as your extra wild card spots. That being said, the Panthers are not out of it at 4-7 with their bye week still yet to come. They could run down the Chicago Bears, and the Bears at the Bears left on their schedule have a game against the Packers is a likely L. Game against the Lions, that should be a dub for the Bears. But we have seen the schizophrenic Lions multiple times. Game against the Texans should be a win. Game against the Vikings could be an L in an NFC North rivalry. Should beat the Jags. And then they've got the Packers a second time. The Panthers, on the other hand, left on their schedule. We mentioned they've got the bye week in a couple of weeks. They got the Vikings this weekend. Could be a win. The Broncos toss-up game. Packers will count it as an L. The Washington football team, if Run CMC is back and healthy, should be a dub. And then you end the year with the Saints. That actually might be good news, because if the Saints, with two or three weeks, can lock up the NFC South, unless they are playing. Remember, only one team is getting a bye this year. Only one team gets a first-round bye. If the Saints are still looking to hunt down that first-round bye, and they should be, they do have the best record in the NFC right now. That does not mean that race is over, obviously, with your Rams at 7-3, the Seahawks at 7-3, the Bucs at 7-4, the Packers at 7-3. If that race is over going into week 17, then perhaps you catch the backups of the Saints and maybe you can snag a dub there and grab that final wild card spot. Question is, do you risk Run CMC this weekend in order to give yourself a good chance against the Vikings to do it? We'll take your thoughts on that when we come back in a minute. When we come back, what are you thankful for as a sports fan this year on Thanksgiving? I'll give you a few of mine. We'll get some of yours. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.